بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue in the issue of الجمع والقصر الجمع والقصر what does الجمع mean in English combining the prayers Combining the prayers. And the qasr? Shortening the prayers. Shortening the prayers. We have discussed a number of issues related to this affair. We have seen that if the musafir, what does the musafir mean? What's the opposite of al-musafir? Al-muqim. Al-muqim. If the musafir, he prays behind the muqim, how should he pray? He should pray with itmam, right? He should complete the prayer as a resident. It's an obligation to complete the prayer as a resident. If he prays behind the muqim, then it's an obligation to complete the prayer as a resident. And this is what has been mentioned from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma whenever he was asked about this, why they would do that. When they prayed alone and amongst themselves as travelers, they prayed two rak'ah. And whenever they pray behind the imam, any of the land that they're in, then they would pray for. So he said, Tilka sunnah to Abi al-Qasim. This is the sunnah of Abi al-Qasim, meaning of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the opposite of that. That was the issue of the muqim, praying behind the musafir. What would he do? It was an obligation for him to complete his prayer likewise. Because the musafir, he will pray according to what is legislated for him, and that is to make qasr. We have seen that the qasr is most virtuous and highly recommended, and to complete the prayer is allowed but is disliked, so long as he's a traveler. So therefore the musafir, he will make qasr, he will pray two rak'ah. But the one who is muqim behind him, he does not have that license, and he does not have that rukhsa. He does not have that permissibility. Rather, what is upon him is to fulfill the right property. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. That's the asal of the affair. That verily the prayer has been prescribed and made obligatory upon the believers at specific times. At specific times. And it also is to be performed in a specific manner. وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and pray as you have seen me pray. And so therefore he doesn't have the right. He's the muqim. But also it has been narrated in Al-Muwatta from Umar radiallahu anhu that إِذَا قَدِمَ مَكَّةَ صَلَّ بِهِمْ رَكَعَتَيْنِ That Umar, whenever he would go to Mecca, radiallahu anhu, he would pray with them two rak'ah. And then he would say, يَا أَهْلَ مَكَّةَ أَتِمُّوا فَإِنَّا قَوْمٌ سَفَرْ And he said, O people of Mecca, complete your prayer, because verily we are people traveling. Because verily, meaning we are travelers. So we hear, we see this affair from the order of Umar radiallahu anhu. Also, we have another issue in closing this topic, and that is with regards to al-rawatib, as-sunan al-rawatib. We touched on this affair in our previous class, and I say if somebody is making al-jama' and al-qasr, how would he pray the rawatib? If he's making an al-jama' and al-qasr, how will he pray the rawatib? He won't pray the rawatib. Why not? Because if he's making qasr, that means he's a traveler. And a traveler, he does not pray the rawatib. And as Ibn Umar, he mentioned, whenever he was traveling and he made qasr, he said, لو كنت مسبحاً لأتممت. If I was going to pray the non-obligatory prayers, then I would have completed my prayer. Then I would have completed my prayer. So the one who's making qasr, he is definitely a traveler. The making qasr is only prescribed and legislated and allowed for the traveler. So the traveler, he will not pray the rawatib. He will not pray the rawatib. But as for the person who made jama' and he's muqim, he made jama because he was sick or because of rain or other legislated excuses and that's allowed for him while he's muqim, while he's a resident. He made jama, he combined the prayers. For example, he combined Dhuhr and Asr at Dhuhr time. What will he do with the Rawatib here? This is the question, or the Mas'ala. It's clear? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that as for Al-Qabariyyah, the one that comes before, the four rakah that come before Dhuhr, he will pray them before. As for the two or four after Dhuhr, then he will pray them after Asr, after he prayed the Asr prayer. So he'll pray the Sunnah before, and then he'll pray Dhuhr and Asr, two rakah each, with two iqamah, and with one adhan and two iqamah, and then after that he'll pray the Sunnah that's after Dhuhr. Same thing as if he had delayed the prayer and prayed the Dhuhr and the Asr in the Asr time. The same ruling. He will pray the Sunnah before, and then after that he will pray Dhuhr, and then combine Asr, and then after that he will pray the Sunnah of Dhuhr. This is what the people of knowledge have mentioned. Same thing with Al-Maghrib and Al-Isha. That the Sunnah after Maghrib, he will pray that after he prays Isha. And then after that, he'll pray the Sunnah of Isha. So therefore, he will pray Maghrib, and then he will combine Isha with it. And then after that, he'll pray the Sunnah of Maghrib, and then the Sunnah of Isha. And then after that, the Witr, if he wants to pray before he sleeps. In this manner. After this, the author, he says, Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah. Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah. The chapter of the prayer of al-Jumu'ah. The prayer of Al-Jumu'ah. This word, it comes in this manner. Al-Jumu'ah. Bil-Dhammatayn. Al-Jumu'ah. Also, it comes with a sukun on the mim. Al-Jum'ah. Al-Jum'ah. This is, both of them are correct. Babu Salati Al-Jumu'ah. Or Babu Salati Al-Jum'ah. Even likewise, it has come, and not as well known, Al-Jum'ah. With the fatha as well on the mim. Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah. But what is most famous and well known is Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah, with a dhamma and a dhamma. And this is how it is recited in all seven well-known recitations of the Noble Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmi al-Jumu'ah. All seven of the reciters that have recited this, they have recited all of them in this manner, Al-Jumu'ah. So this one is the one that is most well known and famous. As for the word Al-Jumu'ah, then it is from Al-Jama'ah, and the verb is Jama'a Yajma'u, Jam'an, and it means to gather, which has preceded. It means to gather something. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the reason for the name of this day is of Al-Jumu'ah is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has gathered in this day from the universal affairs and legislative affairs that which He did not gather any other day. Jama'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min al-umur al-kawniyya wa-shar'iyya ma lam yajma' fi ghayrihi min al-ayyam. That Allah has gathered in this day affairs from the universal decree, and likewise from the legislative decree and command, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not gather in any other day. From that is the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and he was perfected and created in that day. And likewise, it's been mentioned as well that from this naming here, Al-Jumu'ah, is because of Al-Ijtima' al-Nas fi dhalik al-yawm, that the people, they're gathered on that day. And also, on that day is the resurrection. يوم الجمع لا ريب فيه. On the day of gathering. The day of gathering, which there's no doubt about. Meaning the day of resurrection, and the people, they will be gathered back to their Lord for reckoning. They'll be gathered back to their Lord for reckoning. So here we see Babu Salati al-Jumu'ah. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, this is al-Idafa to Shay ila waqtihi. To ascribe something to its time. This particular salat here is the salat of Jumu'ah, meaning it has a specific time and a specific day. Specific time and a specific day. And the day is the day of Jumu'ah. Yawmu Al-Jumu'ah, Yawm Al-Jumu'ah. And the virtue of that day is well known. And this is the best of the days of the week and the most virtuous with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a number of virtues mentioned about Yawm Al-Jumu'ah. And it has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day that the sun has risen upon is the day of Al-Jumu'ah. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِيهِ خُلِقَ Adam. In this day, the day of Jumu'ah, Adam, he was created, alayhi salam, وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And on that day, he was admitted into paradise. وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا. And on that day, likewise, he was exited and he was taken out of Al-Jannah. And he from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that his progeny will be in the earth and to be tried and to be tested. And with the worship and the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as Allah has decreed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَتُكُمُ السَّاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. And that the hour, meaning the day of resurrection, it will not be established except on the day of Al-Jumu'ah, on the day of Jumu'ah. So with regards to the establishment of the day of resurrection, this is something that no one knows except for Allah. This is something that no one knows except for Allah, the specific day. Which specific day, and what year, and what month, and so on and so forth. This is something from the knowledge of the unseen that no one knows except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the day, then this has been revealed to us. Which day is it? It's the day of Jumu'ah. It will occur on the day of Al-Jumu'ah. Which Jumu'ah is it? This one is hidden and unseen, and from the affairs of the unseen and unknown. So a believer, he does not know which day it is, although he knows that it's going to be on the day of Jumu'ah. As for which Jumu'ah it is, then this is something that is unknown and only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the virtue of the day of Jumu'ah. Likewise, it has also been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, as well from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ وَنَحْنُ سَابِقُونَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are the last and we are the first to proceed on the day of resurrection. That we are the last, meaning the last of the nations to come. And in the last of the nations to come before the day of resurrection, meaning the nations of Prophet receiving revelations. The nations of Prophets any who receive revelations. نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ. We're the last. The last to come. وَنَحْنُ السَّابِقُونَ. And we will be the first on the day of resurrection. بَيْدَ أَنَّ كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ أُوتِيَتِ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْرِنَا وَأُوتِيْنَاهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Except that, and even upon the fact that every ummah that has preceded, they received their book before us, and we received the book after them. Meaning all of the previous nations, they received the revelation, and they had a prophet calling them and directing them, and messenger before this nation. And they received the revelation before this nation. But even on top of that, this nation will precede them on the day of resurrection. And so this is the last nation to come in a long line of revelation and sending of prophets and messengers, but they will be the first on the day of resurrection. This is a great virtue for the ummah of Muhammad. And a believer, he should show thanks. He should show thanks and to be from those true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and strive to be upright upon that way, and to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great honor and blessing. So although they received the revelation in the book before us, and we received it after them, we will be the first on the day of resurrection. May Allah make us from them. Meaning the Muslims. May Allah make us from them. So then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma hadha al-yawm, he says, on the day of Jumu'ah. And then this day, meaning referring to the day of Jumu'ah, katabahu Allahu alayna. That Allah, thumma hadha al-yawm, katabahu Allahu alayna, hadana Allahu lahu, fannasu lana fihi tab'un al-yahudu. غَدٍ وَالنَّصَارَ بَعْدَ غَدٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so therefore this day, meaning the day of Jumu'ah, that Allah has made obligatory upon us, and He has ordered us to honor it and to respect it and to know that it has a great right and obligation, then Allah, He has guided us to it, and the people, they are following us from that, and the people are following behind us after that. And He said the Jews, they come tomorrow, and the Christians there the day after that. Meaning that the Jews and the Christians, likewise, they were ordered to find this day. They were ordered to honor this day and to respect this day and to worship this day. And this is the day that is selected by Allah Azza wa Jal and chosen. But because of their differing and their disputes that they had amongst each other, they were not guided. Because of their differing with their prophets and messengers and the disputes that they had amongst themselves and the likes like this, they were not guided to that day. Rather, they were led astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided the Ummah of Muhammad to this day. So therefore, the day is Jumu'ah. And all of the previous nations, they were required to worship Allah on this day and to honor and to venerate this day and to respect this day, but they were not guided to that. They were not guided to that. As for the Muslims, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided them to this day. So therefore, a believer, he should show thanks and he should recognize the right of this day and the honor of this day and the virtue of this day, and he should learn the obligations of this day and the manners and etiquettes that are required for a believer to be upon on this day. And many people in our days, they take this day as a day of vacation and party, and maybe they'll even stay up the night before all night long and then sleep even on the morning of that day. And this is a great calamity, sleep in the morning of the day of Jumu'ah and miss the Fajr prayer in congregation, or even some of them will stay up so late that they'll miss their prayer entirety until the sun has risen, waliyadhu billah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, afdalu salawati indallahi salatu subhi yawm al-jumu'ah jama'atan. Yawm al-jumu'ah fi jama'atin. Yawm al-jumu'ah fi jama'ah. That the most virtuous and the best prayer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the prayer of the morning prayer, and either Fajr prayer on the day of Jumu'ah in congregation. In congregation. So this is a great virtue, likewise indicating any the status and the rank of this prayer. And instead of honoring this day, the day of Jumu'ah, and respecting that and preparing for that and honoring that and the likes, many people, they will stay up on the night of Jumu'ah and they will waste their time. Even some of them will fall into that which is impermissible, from backbiting or looking at things that are not permissible, so on and so forth, until they miss this affair. So the Jumu'ah and the day of Jumu'ah should be respected and honored. And a believer, he should prepare for that and he should show thanks. Alhamdulillah, this is the day that Allah has chosen, and the day for the believers to congregate. And this is a great and a virtuous day. And this day, it has many rites and sunan and manners and etiquettes that a believer, he should know about and he should strive to be upon. And there are many virtues, many virtues in this day. And from them is that there is an hour on the day of Jumu'ah that no believing person will be calling on Allah, supplicating to Allah, except that his supplication will be responded to on the day of Jumu'ah. And from its special and specific qualities. So again, and knowing this affair and respecting this affair and having honor for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Having honor for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have the issue now, حُكْمُ صَلَاتِ الْجُمُعَةِ, the ruling of the Jumu'ah prayer. The ruling of the Jumu'ah prayer. What is the ruling of the Jumu'ah prayer? Is it obligatory or is it recommended? Is it obligatory or recommended? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's obligatory. It's obligatory, that it's fard. That it's fard, it's an obligation. The Jumu'ah is an obligation. And this is established in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, and likewise with the consensus of the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمُ جُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O you who believe. And we know that whenever Allah, He calls the believers in this manner, as Ibn Mas'ud, he had mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, فَرْعِ لَهَا سَمْعَكَ, then you should listen attentively. فَإِنَّمَا يُكُونُ خَيْرًا يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِهِ أَوْ شَرًّا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Either it will be some good that Allah is commanding, or it is some evil that He is prohibiting. Here in this call, and this nida, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, O you who believe, whenever the prayer is called, من يوم الجمعة, on the day of Jumu'ah, فَاسْعَوْا إِلِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Any meaning, hasten to the masajid, and to the gathering of al-Jumu'ah. Hasten to the prayer of al-Jumu'ah. So here we see that there's a command, فَاسْعَوْا. And the origin with the command is that it's an obligation. And this is a command, you need to establish and to come to the prayer. And so, therefore, it's an obligation. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And he hastened to the remembrance of Allah. Hastened to the establishment of this obligation. The obligation of the prayer of Jumu'ah. Likewise, it has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and also the Hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدْعِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدْعِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ, that verily the people, they're going to stop leaving off the Jumu'ah. They are going to stop leaving off the Jumu'ah, أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ, or else Allah, He will seal their hearts. فَلِيَكُنُنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, and then at this time they will be from the heedless. At this time they will be from the heedless. So this is a great threat with regards to the obligation of performing the Jumu'ah, performing the Jumu'ah Salah, Salatul Jumu'ah. لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدِّهِمَ الْجُمُعَاتِ, the people, they're going to stop, verily they're going to stop leaving off and missing, and وَدْعِهِمْ يَعْنِي تَرْكِهِمْ, and بِلَا عُذْر, without any excuse, legislative excuse, they're going to stop missing the Jumu'ah, أَوْ لِيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ, or else verily Allah will seal their hearts, or else verily Allah will seal their hearts. From the peoples whose hearts they're sealed, they're the hypocrites and the disbelievers. يعني, and they, وَلَيَكُنُنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ, they'll be from the heedless, meaning the beneficial knowledge and admonition will not reach their heart anymore. And so from the reason of the heart to be sealed and to not benefit from the revelation and from the knowledge of the legislation is that a person, he will be negligent with regards to performing the Jumu'ah. That a person, he will be negligent with regards to the Jumu'ah. The people of Nod, as I mentioned here, that this is a great threat. That this is a great threat. And a threat in this manner will only come for something that's obligatory. So there's the point of evidence for our issue now, for the mas'ala, that it's an obligation. That it's an obligation. Likewise, it has been collected by Abi Dawood, rahimahullah, from the Hadith of Abi al-Ja'd al-Damri. He mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ تَرَكَ ثَلَاثَ جُمَعٍ تَهَاوُنًا طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. مَنْ تَرَكَ ثَلَاثَ جُمَعٍ تَهَاوُنًا طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. That the one who left off three Jumu'ahs out of negligence, he left off three Jumu'ah prayers out of negligence, then Allah will seal his heart. Then Allah will seal his heart. And he meaning that this is the punishment that this person deserves. That this is the punishment that this person deserves. And this is a threat. This is a threat. And this is the case. So therefore, a believer, he will not take this affair lightly. He will not take this affair lightly. Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, he was asked, Hafidhullah ta'ala, about the people in Europe, which has a similar ruling as the people in America. And the questioner, he mentioned specifically Europe. Yani this individual, he's not able to attend the Jumu'ah because of his job. Because of his job. And he meaning the society there, it doesn't allow for him to attend the Jumu'ah because of his work. Yani in these disbelieving lands. So the Shaykh, he mentioned the fatwa for this person. He said, if that's the case in reality, then it's an obligation for you to make hijrah. Then it's an obligation for you to make hijrah. Because from the issues that will make it incumbent to make hijrah from the lands of the disbelievers, if one is not able to establish the sacred rites of Islam, if he's not able, and yuqima sha'ir ad-deen, and from the greatest of the sacred rites is the Jumu'ah prayer. It's the Jumu'ah prayer. So this is not an excuse to say, well, I live in a land and my boss will not let me go to Jumu'ah. This is not a legislated excuse. So a believer who is in this situation, he will seek help with Allah. And he will seek a way out with Allah. And he will make effort. And he will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove him from this situation. To remove him from the situation, to allow him to attend Jumu'ah, to facilitate for him, to find a job that will allow him to attend the Jumu'ah. So this is something that is very, very important. This is something that is very important to establish the rights of Islam. To live in the land of the disbelievers is allowed if a person is able to establish the sacred rites of Islam. And he's able to establish the five daily prayers. He's able to fast the month of Ramadan. He's able to give charity. And he's able to fulfill the foundations and the basic rites of the deen. And from that, the Jumu'ah, he's able to establish that. If a person was prohibited from establishing the sacred rites of his deen and the fundamentals of his deen, now it will become obligatory. Now it will become obligatory for him for him to migrate. So this was the fatwa of Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and likewise an admonition for all of us in these lands. And these narrations here, there are sufficient as an admonition and a threat and a warning that a believer, he will not take these affairs lightly, that he will not take these affairs lightly. Likewise, there's a consensus, and the people of knowledge have mentioned a consensus with regards to the obligation of the Jumu'ah. The obligation, it is upon the one who is a male and the one who is of age. As for the one who is not of age, then it's not obligatory upon him. Then it's not obligatory upon him to attend. And likewise, as for the woman, it's not obligatory as well upon her. And there's a consensus with regards to that. So the obligation to attend the Jumu'ah is upon the males that are of age of puberty and above. It's an obligation for them to attend. The people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to the obligation of attending the Jumu'ah, it's not restricted to hearing the adhan. The ruling is different. The ruling is not the same as the five daily prayers in congregation. The five daily prayers in congregation are incumbent likewise upon the men, an obligation also upon the men to perform them in congregation for those who live a distance, that they will be able to hear the adhan. Yani if the one who's calling the adhan, he called without a microphone, and he called it from a high area, and a high place, and there's nothing like trees or buildings or other obstacles blocking the voice, that the voice would reach him. And there's also no commotion in this manner, if the adhan was made in this manner, then the voice would reach him. Then it's incumbent upon him to attend the obligation. This issue has proceeded in the chapter of the congregational prayer and the obligation of the congregational prayer. But here the issue of al-Jumu'ah is different. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is with regards to the balad, with regards to the land that one lives in. So long as he lives in the land where the Jumu'ah is established, he has to attend. Even if he has to spend time getting there. For example, even if he had to ride a bus for 30 minutes, or if he had to travel more than 10 miles or 15 miles, or however the case may be, in order to reach the Jumu'ah, it's incumbent upon him an obligation. Someone will not say, I do not live near the masjid, I can't hear the adhan. This is not the condition. This is not the condition for the Jumu'ah and the attendance of the Jumu'ah. And the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to come far and wide from the different outlying areas and outskirts of Al-Madinah, and coming from Awali, and coming from Bani Salama, and coming from here and from there, and they would walk or ride to the Jumu'ah, and they would come from a distance. And many of them, they would have their own masajid. They would have like the area of Bani Salama, which is known as the Masjid Qiblatain now. This area is known as the Hay Bani Salama. This was a tribe that was known in those days, and from them is Jabir ibn Abdullah, yani that he would be in that area, and others than them, and they would come walking. Bani Salama, this masjid, is right by Al-Jamia, Al-Islamiyya. It's not far from Al-Jamia Islamiyya. It's a good walk. It's a long walk. It's probably close to 5 to 10 minute drive. Yani 5 to 10 minute drive, 7-8 minute drive. Yani straight down the road. So yani walking it would take some time, maybe close to an hour to walk from there. An hour or less approximately. So therefore they would come from far. Definitely you couldn't hear the adhan any in this area, and if it's called without a microphone. So the evidence is from the evidence. The point is that if a person, he lives in the land where the Jumu'ah is established, and he is a male, and he is healthy, and he is not a traveler, then he has to attend. As for the traveler, then it's not incumbent upon him to attend the Jumu'ah. The Jumu'ah is not an obligation upon the traveler. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he traveled a number of times, and it's never narrated that he established the Jumu'ah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not him amongst themselves, and not him amongst him and his companions, yani as travelers and the like. So the traveler, he will not establish the Jumu'ah, and it's not upon him to establish the Jumu'ah. If he is in a land where the Jumu'ah is established while he's a traveler, if he is not traveling and yet at that moment, meaning on the road, and for example, he traveled to a land to visit some some family or to take care of some business in the land that he's residing in for a few days to take care of a business while he's traveling, it's preferred for him to attend the Jumu'ah to benefit from the gathering, to benefit from the admonition, and to have the virtue of attending that great congregation and praying that great obligation. But as for him, it's not an obligation upon him. If he didn't pray, there's no blame on him. If he didn't pray the Jumu'ah, there's no blame on him. There's no blame on him. Even likewise, if there were people traveling together and they're on the road and it's Jumu'ah, it's not legislated for them either to establish the Jumu'ah amongst themselves. It's not legislated for them either to establish the Jumu'ah amongst themselves. For example, if an imam or a student of knowledge, for example, or a sheikh is traveling with some of his students and the likes, and they pull over on the day of Jumu'ah and they want to have Jumu'ah, this is not legislated. This never occurred from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will not establish that. They will not establish that. Even some of the people of knowledge mentioned that this will not even be correct and their prayer will not be considered proper. Will not be considered proper. So they will not establish that. So the point is now that the musafir, it's not upon him to make the Jumu'ah. Likewise, the marid, the one who is sick, and these are the people who have excuses. So whenever we say that it's an obligation, meaning an obligation upon the one who is the male, who is of the age of puberty and is a resident, even if he lives for a distance from the masjid, even if he had to ride a bus to get to the masjid 30 minutes, like this. This is the exact example Sheikh Suleiman al-Rahidi, he mentioned. Even if he had to ride a bus for 30 minutes to get there, it's an obligation for him. So what do we benefit from that? That if he did not fulfill this obligation, then he falls under the threat of the narrations that have preceded. If he did not fulfill the obligation, he falls under the threat that has preceded. You understand that? This is the case. So if he fulfilled that, alhamdulillah, he fulfilled a great right of al-Islam and obligation, and he has a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ruling of Salatu al-Jumu'ah. The author, he says, An Sahri ibn Sa'din al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhuma qala ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama alayhi yani al-minbar fakabbara وكبر الناس وراءه وهو على المنبر ثم رفع فنزل القهقرة حتى سجد في أصل المنبر ثم عاد حتى فرغ من آخر صلاته ثم أقبل على الناس فقال أيها الناس إنما صنعت هذا لتأتموا بي ولتعلموا صلاتي. The author, he says, وفي لفظ صلى عليها ثم كبر عليها ثم ركع وهو عليها ثم نزل القهقرة ثم نزل القهقرة. The author, he mentioned the narration of Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, and then he mentioned here رضي الله عنهما, meaning both of them, they are our companions. Sahal ibn Sa'd ibn Malik al-Sa'idi al-Ansari al-Khazraji. Sahal ibn Sa'd, his kunya is Abu al-Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and he is from the well-known companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Ansar. And it's mentioned that his father likewise was a companion. He died in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father died in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both of them were companions. It's mentioned about Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he died, he was around the age of 15. He was approximately the age of 15. Sahal, his name was Hazan. Sahal, his name that his father named him was Hazan. What does Hazan mean? Sa'ab. There's a difference between Hazan and Huzan. Huh? Hazan, it means Sa'ab, hard, difficult. Huzan, it means it's the acts of farah. Huzan, it means grief. Grief is to pay any benefit for those brothers who are learning and sisters who are learning the Arabic language. The great difference of changing a haraka, because there's a great difference between grief and heart. And it's something that is hard to do or hard to perform or hard to understand, you say sa'ab or hazan, any of the same meaning. But as for somebody who's sad, he's upset, he is unhappy, he's grieving, And you say Huzun, and it's a great difference. A great difference. Here, Sahal, his name was Hazan. Yani Sa'ab, meaning hard. Hard. The Arab, they used to name their children, the male children, their boys, they used to give them names like this. Names, sometimes they would call one of them Harb. They would call this an Harb. Harb, it means war. Hazan, it means hard, harsh. They would name their children, their boys, names that have hard names and harsh names. And then if they had slaves, they would give them nice names and beneficial names and the likes like this. Any names that have good meanings, Nafi', for example, and so on and so forth. The reason for that, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the Arabs, they mentioned about themselves, and they said, as for our children, they're for our enemies. They're for our enemies, and they're going to be facing our enemies, because they used to have jahiliyyah. They had jahiliyyah, fighting and tribalism amongst each other greatly. So they would name the children with harsh names, the boys, hoping that they would be harsh on their enemies and be a means to frighten their enemies and be stern against their enemies and so on and so forth. So they gave the boys names like this. They said, as for the mawali, as for the slaves and the free slaves, then they're for us, and we benefit from them. Like this. So this was their reasoning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came and he changed that. This is from the things of al-jahiliyyah they were upon in this foul manner, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he changed that. He said, your name is Hazan? No, your name is Sahal. Sahal means easy. Sahal means easy. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen that Sahal, he had this name, Hazan, had a bad meaning. It didn't have a good meaning. Meaning is hard. Hard, harshness. Like this, he renamed him. He said, you're Sahal. You know, the opposite of that, a good name. A good name with a good meaning. A good name with a good meaning. So this is a great benefit that a believer, if he accepted Islam and he has a name that has a bad meaning, or if his parents had given him a name that has a bad meaning, then he would change that to a name that has a good meaning. He will change that to a name that has a good meaning. And if he is a non-Arab, or if he is someone who does not have a firm foundation in the knowledge of Islam, he will ask the people who know for advice. He will ask the people who know for advice. Likewise, with regards to naming the children. We find many times people who are ignorant of the Arabic language, they will pick names that they think are good, or they have a meaning that they think is nice, but in reality it's not proper for a name. And then whenever that name is used, the people who know and understand, they will find fault with that, and it would indicate a great ignorance from that person. Just to pick any name that sounds good and the likes like this should not just be used as a name. Names are different than just words in the Quran, or words that have good meanings, and just name the child any name that sounds good. Rather, there are words that are known to be names. From the best names are al-asma' al-mu'abbada, the names that have, for example, Abdullah, the most beloved names to Allah, Abdullah and Abdurrahman. It's come in the hadith. Likewise, any other name that's like this, Abdul Hayy, or Abdul Qayyum, or Abdul Kareem, Abdul Malik, or Abdul Malik, like this, Abdul Ghafur, all of these are beautiful names for our child, or the names of the prophets, or the names of the righteous and the pious. Like this, these are names that one will select, whether it's from the males or the females, or other names that have beautiful and beneficial meanings. Some people, because of their ignorance, they will name their children names that sounds good to them, but it's contrary to aqidah. And it's actually a name that is contrary to the correct belief. And I have met people like this, and it's known in Medina that they come from different lands. For example, there was a student, his name is Mu'inullah. And there's another one from the same country, his name is Hafidullah. And then the people there, they intend a good intention, but the good intention is not sufficient. كَمْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ. How many people intended good, but they did not achieve it? Yani, so, yani, mu'inullah, meaning is the helper of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the fundamental beliefs in al-imanu billah, is that he has no helpers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no helpers. So to call one's child the helper of Allah, that like Allah, He needs helpers. They think that it has a good name, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has no helpers. It's not a good name. It's not a good meaning. Hafidh al-Rahman, that was the name. Hafidh al-Rahman, the protector of al-Rahman. And this is the meaning of it. But the people, they were thinking that it has a good meaning, but it has a bad meaning. I even heard from Sheikh Abdul Razak. He mentioned that he went to a particular country and there was one of the students there. Whenever he met him, he said, "What is your name?" He said his name is Sifatullah. He said his name is Sifatullah. And then the Shaykh, he said, Sifatullah means the attribute of Allah. The attribute of Allah. That's what it means. The attribute of Allah. He said, "You're the attribute of Allah." He said, "Yes." And the student, he didn't realize, but the Shaykh, he's trying to get a point across. "Anta Sifatullah, you're the attribute of Allah." He said, "Yes, yes." He said, "You're this, yes." He said, "You're this." He said, "Oh, no. He figured it out. So they changed his name. And where others, they'll name a name, and they'll just pick a name and the likes like this, and then whenever you hear the name of the child, or he's Abu Fulan, Abu what? And it's something strange. It's something good. And from the right of the child, is that the father, he selects a good name. He selects a good name, a name with a good meaning, and he'll call him by these good names. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana yu'jibuhu al-fa'l. He used to like optimism, and he used to like hearing good words and good names like this. You're hard? No, you're not hard. You're easy. You're easy. Many times this will affect a person. He maybe used to be hard because of that. Or somebody, maybe he'll have a bad name, and then because he's always called that, he will come into his heart and he will act like that sometimes. It will affect him. But if you change the name to something good, to something nice, to in this manner like this, it affects a person. Whenever a person hears good words, it affects him in a good manner. Whenever he hears bad words, it affects him. It affects him. So how about if somebody's named these affairs? So then this is very, very, very important to be diligent with this affair. If somebody accepted Islam, it's not incumbent upon him to change his name. It's not incumbent upon him to change his name, except if he had a bad name. But still, it's good. And for example, somebody has a regular name that doesn't have a bad meaning, but the names in the Arabic language are better. The names in the Arabic language are better. The Arabic language is rich, and the names are beautiful. And the names of the prophets, for example, are Abdullah. Abdullah is a beautiful name. Abdul Rahman is a beautiful, Abdul Hakim, Abdul Karim, like Ahmed, Muhammad. Yani all of these names are beautiful names, a beautiful meaning. Umar, like this, Amr. These are all beautiful names, names of the best of the people. So to have that name, alhamdulillah, is good. To have the name is good. It's better to have another name. Although it's not incumbent. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.